Bannerbox Radio.
I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper. Hey folks, what's going on? Welcome back to Banter Box Radio, episode 36. This is episode 36 for, oh goodness, what in the world is it? It's November 3rd, 2015, this fine Tuesday. Hopefully these dulcet tones will be reaching your ears on your morning commute, or whenever you happen to listen to it. I'm Thomas Towson. Joining me is Dan Knight. Dan Knight, what's up? Yeah, it's one of those sleepy kind of days.
Your intros are stupid and boring.
Wow.
And they make me yawn.
That's really rude.
Oh, I'm sorry. What I meant to say is that I hate you. Is that... No, that's worse, right? Is that worse?
No, that's all right.
Oh, okay, good.
So we're here again this week to do what we do every time we do this, which is... Dan, what do we do? I forgot.
We deliver the news that you said that everyone else is too afraid to tell.
Yeah. That's right. We're doing the news that other news stations of lesser importance, CNBC and Fox and stuff. Well, that one might be correct, but other stations are too afraid to cover, and we're gonna hit those hard hitting topics this week. With six fresh stories to tittle your tantals.
Oh, goodness gracious.
And Dan, before we get into it, though, do you know what today is?
Tuesday.
Yep. Do you know what today is most famous for?
Being the first Tuesday of November.
Yes.
Oh, I'm right.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, goodness. Wow. That's what today is.
No. Oh. Yes, but today is also National Deviled Egg Day.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's Satan's favorite food, and it's when you take an egg, and you take the yolk out of it, and you mush it up with some mayonnaise and some mustard and stuff, and you put it back in, and then you eat it in some sort of weird egg massacring ritual.
It's a practical joke, really, because what you're doing is you're taking the yolk out and mixing some other stuff and then putting it back in and hoping no one will notice.
Yeah.
And that's where the devil comes from. The devilry, trickery.
Wow. I've never really broken it down and thought about it like that.
Why is it
called a deviled egg?
Because what you're supposed to do is when all this dates back to when people in the colonial era would, when they make this, they would curse each egg.
Yeah.
When they'd mix their mayonnaise and their mustard in.
Mm-hmm.
And each egg would be possessed by a tiny egg demon. And when people ate them, it gave you good crops for the year.
Wow. Wow, we got some real hard-hitting history here. You didn't think I wasn't expecting that when I came into this today.
Well, the downside to that, though, is the death of your firstborn.
Oh. I mean, really, it's small price to pay.
Yeah, it's like a good harvest of corn. So.
Yeah, so there's got to be blood. Blood for the corn god.
The corn god.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other series of things you have to do to appease that guy.
Very different. Okay, so it is National Deviled Egg Day, so I don't know. Eat a deviled egg, I guess. How else do you celebrate that? Do that.
Eat it or make someone else make it and
throw it away.
And then throw it away.
whatever you got to do. You know, I'm not here to judge your life or make decisions for you. So why don't we just go ahead and get right into things. Dan, why don't you take it away?
Okay, I'm gonna preface this. I realize that it is November. We just
do
jumped
you remember
in.
The cold winds of November? Oh wait, it's September. It's cold winds of September.
I remember November rain.
Ah, yeah.
And that is, I mean, that's hard to forget.
Also, the 5th. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
A fifth of vodka.
Yes.
On November.
Nailed it.
Rain.
Yep.
So Halloween just passed, but I've got a few post-Halloween stories because, you know what? Why not?
Dan, I thought I avoid the spookiness. I'm getting creeped already.
It's about to get real serious.
Wow.
And, yeah. Okay, so jovial decor turns sour as Chris White, an assistant prosecuting attorney, pulled his gun out in the office.
Oh.
Apparently, co-workers in the office hung up fake spiders around his desk in preparation for Halloween.
I can see where this is going.
We've done a few articles very similar to...
I'm guessing he loves spiders.
He's a big fan of not spiders. He has arachnophobia. He may have overreacted when he pulled his gun out and threatened to shoot the fake spiders.
Wait, he threatened them.
He threatened, well, he's like telling everybody, I'm going to shoot these fake spiders. Like, I'm assuming he realized
they weren't just giant spiders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were really good.
Phobias are crazy things, man.
They are.
Who knows?
I mean, the guy at the gas station who tried to set...
Yeah, the gas tank, the
gas. Yeah, the gas tank spider on fire.
Yeah.
That was probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Pulling a gun out to shoot fake spiders, though, is pretty...
That's pretty good.
It's up there.
Yeah.
Fortunately, when he pulled his gun out, he didn't wave it around or point it at anybody.
The spiders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just those darn spiders.
That's good.
He said they had spiders every place, and he had told them it wasn't funny, and he couldn't stand them. Logan County Prosecutor John Bennett told WCHS, it had no clip in it, Bennett said. Of course, they wouldn't know that, and I wouldn't either if I looked at it, to tell you the truth. So
what was he hoping to accomplish?
I guess, I don't know.
So he knew there was no clip in it.
So Or maybe he didn't, and he just said it. Like, maybe he was, like, pulling back the hammer, and he was pulling the trigger, and it was just clicking. He's like, huh, yeah, I mean, I knew there weren't any bullets in it. And he was thinking, like,
gotcha,
oh,
guys.
Thank God there was no bullets in it.
Fooled ya.
But, yeah, so he got suspended, but they are not going to fire him.
They're not going to fire him, huh?
They haven't had any sort of incident with him in the past, so he's been there for 5 years.
Just gun in the office. Okay.
Yeah, just a gun in the office, you know,
no big deal.
How it is.
Mentally stable, pointing his gun at fake spiders. That's cool. Yeah. No, it's all good.
These things happen.
Yep.
When people have irrational fears.
How do you feel about spiders?
I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but... Yeah.
I wouldn't go out of my way to befriend one.
No.
But...
In a Charlotte's Web type scenario?
Yeah. I wouldn't have it writing messages in its web for me.
You wouldn't have it do that?
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't ask it to do it, but if it did do it...
I would be like, hey, that's pretty cool.
That's neat. I didn't ask for this, but thank you.
I never asked for this. basically, yeah. Like, I'm okay with spiders, but as long as they maintain a respectful distance.
Spider.
And don't touch me with their gross, hairy legs.
Right.
All right, great. In keeping with the Halloween spirit.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a play on words. Oh.
Hey-o.
I mean, it's weak at best, though, because it's frequently said, and I don't think people mean literally a Halloween. Anyway, a Quebec City pharmacy unknowingly passed out the antipsychotic pills to kids after a customer dropped her 17-year-old son's prescription on the way out of the store.
Hmm.
The medication was quetiapine and Divalprox.
Quench your peen?
Yes, quench your peen and Divalprox, which are used to treat schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and other psychological illnesses. Another customer picked up the fallen meds and left it on the counter, just a bit too close to the candy bin.
Uh-oh.
Quote, so unfortunately we don't know how... An employee just mixed it in with the candy by accident and distributed it to the kids. The 7 individually wrapped pills were mixed in with the rest of the candy and given out to trick-or-treaters throughout the day.
Individually wrapped pills?
Yeah, it seems weird, right?
That seems like way too convenient.
Yeah, right. That's what I was thinking.
They look like Mike and Ike's.
Or Chiclets. Those were individually wrapped and stuff. Oh, no, they were wrapped in sets of 4s.
Chiclets?
Yeah, you remember the little mini gum things?
I thought they were in, like, those weird pouches.
They were, but also when you get there were the individually wrapped ones. We used to go to a Mexican restaurant that was weird. They had those in, like, a 3 or 4 mini pack that you could take for free that you just had.
I've never seen those, I don't think.
Yeah. So the kids got these things. The 7 individually wrapped pills were mixed in the rest of the candy and given out throughout the day. Police said that that ingesting the pills isn't dangerous.
That's good.
Even though side effects include nausea, tremors, and suicidal thoughts.
Not dangerous, though?
Yeah, as of the update on the story, luckily all the medication has been found. None of it was eaten.
Didn't go into any kids' bellies.
No. I mean, it would have looked pretty weird, I think. Like, it depends. I guess it depends on how it was packaged. Was it packaged like double, like clear wrapper, double twists on the end, like bubblegum wrapper? Or was it like...
Double bubble?
Yeah, yeah, like... I'm not sure how it was packaged, if it was super obvious, or... Anyway, kids didn't eat it, but I mean, that was a close one.
Kids don't like medicine anyway.
Yeah, it's ucky.
It is. Yeah. My mom used to, like, have to force me to eat my Flintstones vitamins, and I hated those things.
Oh man, those are terrible, except for the gummies. Those are wonderful.
See, that's the thing. Absolutely I never delicious. Got the gummies. I just got the chalky, gross...
Poor soul. I had both. I started with the chalky...
It was disgusting. Yeah. Yeah. It was like biting into like a stick of chalk.
Yeah, exactly. It was absolutely disgusting. The only one I really loved was Pepto-Bismol, which I didn't know the name of for years. I just called it the pink medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was referred to. Even my mom and everybody referred to it as the pink medicine or pink stuff.
The pink stuff.
Yeah, probably in an effort to separate the thing from the medicine, you know. It's not a medicine, it's a tasty little bubblegum flavored beverage that makes you feel better. I don't know.
Mild minty taste.
Yeah. I think that stuff's delicious. I still do, but, you know, what you gonna do?
I think that's a really hard thing to do, is to make medicine taste good.
Except for Tums. I love Tums.
They had these amazing Tums. I don't think they make them anymore. They had, smoothie Tums.
Yeah, it was tropical fruit ones.
They had one that was a cocoa. It was like a cocoa and cream.
Mm.
It was so good.
Ugh.
I could literally eat it like candy.
I'm glad I'm not alone in my love of Tums. Tums are really tasty, and there you go.
And there you go. And they're good for when you get the squirts.
The Hershey squirts. That's right.
Those Herschel squirts.
I knew him well. All right, next. Let's do it.
Okay, a bizarre turn of events has led police to arrest a Washington man who was allegedly offering sex with his dog in exchange for a little alone time with some farm animals.
I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry. There was no redeeming part of that sentence. There was no, like, oh, he's offering this up in for something. I don't know, like, cash or something. But it's like, your two options are diddle a dog... or make love to farm animals.
Well, the offer was, hey, I have a dog. Do you want to come hump it? And if you have some farm animals, I'll go hump those.
Yeah.
Like,
so
that's the trade.
That's super weird.
That is super weird.
That's, I mean, just because every part, it's a two-way street there. It's like, what kind of clientele do you have on that?
Yeah.
It's, okay, all right, sure.
What sort of website do you meet other people to do that kind of thing?
Farmlove.com.
Farmlove.org.
.gov.
James Allen Darlin, 56, contacted what he thought was a farmer online, who was actually an investigator in disguise.
Ooh.
I've heard about those kind of stories. Usually it's seedy gentlemen and underage teenagers or something like that, but
yeah,
not usually
to catch a predator.
A 56-year-old man and a farmer online chatting.
Yeah,
To catch a predator.
Yeah.
So the guy's like,
I'm going to come over and I'm going to meet this sheep. Oh, he's in the other room, and then that guy comes up.
Hey, why don't you take a seat?
Why don't you take a seat? Where's the sheep at? I'm going to need you to take a seat. Okay. He then tried to work out a deal with sexy times with each other's animals. The suspect requested to spend days on the farmer's property solely for the purpose of having sex with the various animals provided, including miniature horses, dogs, and goats.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like the basic lineup. You don't want to do full-size horses.
No.
That's, you know.
It's too much work.
That's the advanced tier, right? That's level amateur. 2, at least.
Or maybe, yeah. Yeah, maybe, yeah.
You get like a punch card and you have to work through all the smaller animals before you get to level 2, which is the full-size horses.
The boss level.
Yeah, the like, buffaloes, and I don't know. Buffaloes. Come on. What?
That's like level 10 kind of stuff.
No, that's lions.
Lions. Oh, man.
That's level 10.
Well, according to investigators, Darlin admitted in multiple emails and phone calls to having sex with a neighbor's horse, dogs, and sheep several times. I'm assuming the neighbor was unaware, but I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? He also admitted to getting intimate with customers' pets and stray dogs during his time at a delivery company. 23 years of time, to be exact.
Oh, my God.
So he was busy. He was a busy man with a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
The busy plan.
He was. Wow. He was having a good time, you know?
He was doodling them poodles.
Oh, goodness.
We clearly confirmed his intentions to commit this crime by statements, recorded phone calls and videos, emails, and actions witnessed by my detective, leaving no doubt in his mind that Darlin fully intended to carry out his perversion by committing the crime of bestiality, or bestiality, as some people like to call
it. Very different from worstiality.
Yeah.
Very, very different. That's normal stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
what they call it in the South.
That's normal? Worsty area?
Yeah. That's, you know, human-human relations. That's worsty area.
So
I can make these jokes.
You can. You can. You are a local. Yokel.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He was arrested, and his dog was taken away from him because you know the rest.
Because of the wonderful things he's done.
He's off to see the
sheep.
The sheriff.
Okay, so a woman was arrested, Dan, and that's all I got.
Wow.
That's it. How weird was that? Yeah, no. A woman was arrested after stripping naked and smearing ketchup all over her body in a bizarre incident at a fast food restaurant.
Is this the Subway lady again?
No. This is very different. This is very different.
Oh, okay.
Police said the 23-year-old walked to the second floor of the Miami Beach fast food restaurant on Ocean Drive, just in case you want to go there. I can let you know where it is specifically. It's on Ocean Drive, okay?
Is this the ketchup lady? Is this where she smeared herself?
She allegedly came down the stairs topless and began turning over tables and chairs.
Mm.
She then smeared ketchup all over her body and even stuck a steel chair leg between her buttocks.
Oh, my God. That makes sense.
It's getting me warm, you know?
In my buttocks.
A long list of all of my fetishes.
It has to be a steel chair, though.
Yeah, anything less, and you're really just half A.
We all know where that was going anyway.
Val was arrested on Thursday night after police investigated the online footage. She also faces charges of incite to riot, indecent exposure, and disorderly conduct. The news station also reported allegations that Vail was charging several men in the crowd and taking off the lower part of her bikini.
Charging?
Yeah, charging cash, you know, money, to see the goods, as it were.
For some reason, I thought she was revving
the downstairs mix-up.
Oh.
Police say she said she laid naked on a table and poured ketchup on herself while dancing. How can you dance while laying down?
Just kind of frantically kicking her legs?
Yeah, maybe she's breakdancing.
Or doing like some sort of weird like thrusting, like pelvic thrust.
Yeah.
Upwards.
Sure. I'm okay with, yeah, sure, okay.
with ketchup.
According to the report, she ended up causing $420 in damage at the restaurant by breaking two tables and two glasses. How could she?
That much money for a couple of tables? Well, yeah. Well, that's been really good tables.
Decent tables, I guess, yeah.
Were they also metal? Like the chairs?
I think that'd be difficult to break. Unless it was broken at, like, the screw or something. The hinge, or not hinge, the, you know, whatever it's called. Good Lord.
They never said the size of this lady.
Yeah.
She might have been, like, some crazy bodybuilder.
Maybe.
Or just some...
We don't know.
Yeah? Well, I have no idea.
There is a video of it online, though. So it could easily be found out.
Yeah?
Yeah. It could be.
It could be, and but...
But it is.
You do it. You do the homework.
Yeah. You folks. You do my work.
I did all this work. You do more.
All righty. What you got?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm good. That's it. That's all. What more can be said? She put ketchup on her body. She danced. She broke things. And she charged money to see her bikini bottom.
Her bikini bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Where SpongeBob lives.
Yeah, and the Krusty Krab.
He lives inside of it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, I have another kind of Halloween-y story. A witch and a warlock walk into a courtroom.
Okay. I'm ready for it.
The punchline?
Yep.
The witch wins in court.
Oh, okay, cool.
So
great. It was what now? A witch and a lawyer?
A witch and a warlock.
A witch and a warlock. That makes more sense than a witch and a lawyer. That would have been boring.
Well,
witch
I mean, it makes more sense for a lawyer to be in there, I guess. Yeah, that's true.
But a witch and a warlock go in, but only one leaves.
Only
right?
one leaves.
If I know anything about my movies, it's that two enter and only one leaves.
Everybody knows from Mad Max, it's a witch and a warlock go into the Thunderdome, and one of them leaves with some sort of cash settlement.
Dan, who runs Bartertown?
Judge Judy.
That's right.
A 75-year-old fortune teller and self-proclaimed witch, Lori Bruno Sforza, took... Christian Day, or the world's most famous warlock, to court.
I've never heard of him.
Well, I bet you've never heard of any other warlocks, so I guess he's the world's most famous.
All right, I'll give you that. All right.
This all happened in Salem, Massachusetts, I might add. The
famous for their witches.
Famous for killing all them witches.
Yep.
It's good to see that a witch is, you know, triumphant somehow. Sort of.
She's a strong witch who don't need no warlock.
That's right. She claimed to have been repeatedly harassed by Day. Dressed in mystic garb, the woman recalls her ordeals on the stand. "He called me the C word," she said.
Wow. You mean conjurer? You think that's okay? She's a witch.
That's so
derogative.
She's
put in her time. She's no conjurer.
Of cheap tricks.
That's insensitive.
She claims that Day hissed the words into the phone and hung up on several occasions. With the Twitter tagline description, "Warlock, drama queen, bitch."
Wait, come on now.
We can assume he's playing for keeps.
Wow.
That was his Twitter profile title.
Whoa.
Yeah, so.
He is those things.
His warlock Twitter account says.
Oh.
He's fierce. Like that.
All warlocks should have a nice, solid Twitter account, you know.
That's right.
To keep up on the modern social activities of other magic
witchery
dealers. Yeah, witch. No.
Okay. Wizardry.
There you go.
What's the difference between a wizard and a warlock?
The warlock deals in darker magic.
Oh, okay. And a wizard is lighter fare?
Yeah.
Like fireworks?
Sure. Yeah.
For hobbits?
Yeah, like fireballs as opposed to...
Fireballs?
Sure, why not? I think wizards can do fireballs, but warlocks would do, you know, the dark arts.
I just imagine, like, Gandalf drinking fireball whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah, basically that. That's what I mean.
So they can handle their fireball whiskey.
They sure can.
And warlocks cannot.
They cannot.
That's why they're drama queens.
Yeah.
So Day fired back. He said, "On everything that is holy," ironic, "I did not make those calls," he said. "This is a business dispute, and everything she said about me is a lie."
Bold words.
He did not testify in his own defense. This is all after-the-fact stuff. In Salem, Day had built a series of businesses around witchcraft. 3 years ago, Sforza ended up working for him. The witch and her two friends testified that the warlock called her vulgar and sexist obscenities. She ended up quitting and starting her own boutique. But she claims the harassment didn't end after she left.
You know, it's incidents like this that caused the great witch and warlock separation of 1836.
And we all know how that happened.
We all know how that went down, so...
That also ties into the invention of deviled eggs.
Yeah, yeah, it was during that period. That was the one good thing to come out of that conflict, was the invention of the deviled egg.
Yeah. And that's why we celebrate it today.
What a day to have this story, huh?
It all ties together. It does. But, of course, you should probably explain more about how the conflict spurred that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I should. Continue.
All right. interestingly enough, Day said he couldn't provide an adequate defense as his attorney called in sick and was, quote, throwing up on his suit. Now, when I read that, I think that there's some sort of spell that was put on his attorney. It's like, my attorney couldn't make it. He was sick. He was throwing up. He was violently ill for some mysterious reason.
Puking eyeballs all night.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Or toads.
Toads. That's the... Toads and locusts. Those seem to be the... Yeah.
He shouldn't have drank so much the previous night.
Is that a new phrase? Like, it's raining cats and dogs, but I was puking frogs and locusts?
Yeah. I think so. It is now. And that's how deviled eggs get made. So instead, he found another lawyer in the hallway outside the courtroom and only had a few hours to prepare his case. The judge ended up ruling for the witch, feeling her testimony was heartfelt and sincere. The fortune teller also, the witch, fortune teller, she claims she predicted the court would rule in her favor.
Oh, how convenient. How convenient that she did that.
After the fact.
Did she tell anybody that before?
See, that's the thing. I don't know about that.
We should go to our sources. What do the sources say?
So we should go ask another fortune teller.
Yeah. Whether or not thinks. That... Yeah, exactly.
Not her, though.
Yeah.
That'd be biased.
Too biased for us.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that there are some important things. You know, while there's mass atrocities in other countries and you know... humongous amounts of bloodshed and serious issues in the world that we have time to have a legal dispute between a witch and a warlock.
Another fun fact I didn't particularly mention, but I should have. The warlock, this Day character, he...
Christian Day is an ironic name, right?
It sure is, isn't
it? Okay, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff about this article that's that has humorous undertones. Mm-hmm. But, He also said that he actually had been charged in other courts for harassing other women.
Oh.
But he's like, I did that other stuff. But I didn't harass this particular woman. So it just really makes you go like, yeah.
It's really giving warlocks a bad name.
He is. Especially being the world's most famous warlock, which is
apparently
what it says on his personal website.
That's what he calls himself. Yeah. Yep, okay.
He's the most interesting man, because he drinks Dos Equis.
That's right. Okay, so let's hear, you know what?
What?
I've got a crazy one for you. I'm going to actually segue this. We're talking about fortune tellers.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I tell you about some psychic guinea pigs?
Oh, snap, crackle, pop.
A couple claim they're 21 guinea pigs.
Oh my God.
Are psychic and have special powers.
I can't wait to hear more.
But now they've been threatened with eviction for refusing to give them up. Okay. Clive and Rose Restall must part company with the rodents or move as the pets breach their tenancy agreement. But the pair claim that their guinea pigs have been crucial to Clive, 57.
Mm-hmm.
Not the 57th Clive.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Getting through his cancer treatment.
Oh.
Yeah. They insist their pets have special powers. Mystical abilities. They say the pets have helped members of the community with their personal problems and helped influence the future.
In what?
In all
ways.
In
what way?
Okay. But the Plymouth Community Hopes, or Homes, my goodness, it's like I've never read before. But... Plymouth Community Homes, PCH, have said their number of guinea pigs and rabbits that the rest stalls are keeping is unreasonable and issued a warning of eviction. So they also have some rabbits in there, but who cares, right? Because we got 21 psychic guinea pigs. At this point, rabbits are just...
small potatoes.
Yeah, exactly. This is a quote. "Lots of people like to come and visit them," said Clive. "Some people like to come and speak to them about their problems. There was one lad who came in and asked the guinea pigs to help them bring his father back from Afghanistan." And you know what, Dan? They did.
The guinea pigs delivered?
Yeah, they went there. They got him and brought him back.
In like a swarm of guinea pigs.
Yeah,
like,
yep, like exactly.
Crowd surfed this soldier.
Yeah, like, it was beautiful.
I'm assuming he was a soldier, but was he... or was he just like there on business?
Probably. He got probably stuck. A soldier, if I had to guess.
Okay.
But the guinea pigs brought him back.
They brought him back.
They sure did. They helped bring his father back from Afghanistan.
Dryerfin, firefin. Yep. Why? What exactly did the guinea pigs have to contribute to him getting back from Afghanistan? Like,
that's
what?
A good question. I'm glad you asked that.
Okay.
The special powers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had special powers. So that's mostly... I would say that's at least 99% of what was used to get him back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 100% convinced now.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad we could cover that. Now, let's move on, though. That was the easy part to get over. And there's this young lady we know who is having trouble at home with her parents, but she comes in and talks to them.
Oh, well, that's good.
They're a means of communication. They listen to your problems, and they help. They've helped me through my cancer. They've helped me cope. The local community love them just as much as I do. I sometimes loan them out to people if they need someone to talk to, too.
That's weird.
It's like a Blockbuster, but for guinea pigs. For psychic guinea pigs.
And you can take John Michael.
You get it.
But
this is Houdini. This is David Blaine.
That Sandy Dickinson's going to cost you extra, though. She's really magical.
David Blaine's a great one, but only if you're filming him. And if you cut together all the pieces to make it look like he's done something,
then it's good.
Then it works perfectly. he goes on to say, he loans them out to people, which is a weird. You know, that's a little.
It is
weird.
A weird.
The PCH PCH spokesperson.
Mm-hmm. That's speaking.
You know what? I'm having a heck of a time today. Insisted that eviction would only be enforced as a last resort. Quote, "In this case, the number of animals in Mr. Restall's home is beyond what is reasonable." Mm. Yeah, no kidding. "We have agreed that Mr. Restall can keep some of his guinea pigs, but needs to find new homes for the others, and we've given him until mid-January to reduce the number. We'll continue to work with him and offer support." I'm going to put in my 2 cents on this. One, 21 is too many. However, if they are all psychic and have special powers and can influence the future, I feel like you should move. Because mm-hmm. your guinea pigs are definitely more important.
Yeah.
Right? More important than just some home. Can't they influence the future to make you get billions of dollars and live in a mansion or something like that?
Or at the very least, this seems like a problem that you should ask the guinea pigs how to tackle.
Yeah. There you go.
See you through it.
Yeah. Do they want him to give them up?
Maybe they can carry the couple to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
When they picked up the other guy, you know, it could have been a nice transition.
They clearly have some sort of way of getting between the two places. So, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Maybe that's their only magical ability, is to somehow teleport from here in the States to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
See, now, this place they're living, it's a community home center sort of thing. It's a, mm-hmm. you know, assisted living type deal. Not quite assisted living, but basically subsidized housing.
Right.
If they have 21 psychic guinea pigs, I feel like they could be making some serious bank.
Yeah.
On, you know, lottery predictions and charging people to come get, you know, their fortunes told. And they can influence the future in any way they want.
Somehow.
Somehow, these 21 guinea pigs. Is that it? Yes, that is it. It's really weird. And I think they'll be fine, though. They've got 21 little tiny furry psychics with special powers that can cure any ailment. At least that's what I get from this.
I can't imagine all of them are. I think some of them are like the really powerful
leeches,
ones.
Like,
yeah, they're carrying
yeah.
those stragglers.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. You know what else is entirely possible, Dan?
The end of the show?
It's entirely possible you reached the end of the show.
Oh.
Yeah, that was well done. You picked up on that. Good job.
I did it.
You know what? Keep up the good work. And congratulations. Folks, thank you for showing up again this week and listening to us doing what we're doing and me stumbling over words for about 35 minutes. So, we do appreciate everything you do, and that is listening. And submitting articles, keep doing that. Head on over to iTunes, give us ratings. That's pretty sweet. Or, you know, even something as small as taking a few minutes, sending us an email, bbrbannerboxradio.com, or on our website of the contact form, send us some feedback.
Mm-hmm.
It is much appreciated. And as long as you folks keep your interest, we'll keep on doing it. That's about gonna wrap it up this week, Dan. Unfortunately, that's all for this week.
And remember, during our transition from an embryo into a fetus, all humans start out first as just a butthole.
Thanks for joining us.
It ain't easy being wheezy.